When you walk through the city,
walk through the city,
gotta keep your strap. Well, I beg your pardon,
pardon.
You gotta watch your back. If you walk with Jesus,
walk with Jesus,
he's gonna save your soul. But you gotta keep the devil,
gotta keep
way down in the hole.
Yeah, Detroit.
Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Detroit's Most Dangerous Podcast. Say hello to the bad guy. I am your host, Cutty Kane. And once again, we in the madhouse, man. Welcome to the madhouse, man. It's been a minute, man, since I talked to y'all, man. It's been a couple of weeks. You know, we cover a lot of ground on this show, man. You know, we always aim to entertain, but we also aim to educate as well. Like I said before, this is Detroit's Most Dangerous Podcast. I get a lot of people that ask me why I call this Detroit's Most Dangerous Podcast, and I'm going to tell you why, because anything goes here. You know, this is the madhouse. This is the podcast for the killers, the dealers, the scammers, the stealers, and everything in between. We got a vast audience here. We cater to a lot of different demographics, and today we're going to do the same. Today is a big show. This is a show where we're going to cover a lot of ground. We have arguably probably my highest profile guest thus far. You know, a very accomplished brother, a very distinguished brother, a brother born and raised here in our city, city of Detroit. He's the son of a judge. He's a former member of the Michigan House of Representatives. He's also a former Michigan State Senator out of the 4th District. Mr. Virgil Smith Jr. is who I got in the studio today. So, Mr. Smith, would you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners? Welcome to the madhouse and get the people some background on who you are. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
Well, first and foremost, good evening, everybody. And I'm actually not a junior.
Not a junior?
I'm not a junior.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm Virgil Kai Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, my father is Virgil Clark Smith.
Okay. Okay. Well, my apologies. My apologies.
No, it's all good. Most people actually don't know that, and I always get called a junior, and I'm not.
Okay. 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 Mm-hmm. So, first, Mr. Smith, welcome to the madhouse, man. We appreciate having you here. So, man, just go ahead, man. Introduce yourself to the people. Give them some background on, you know, where you're from. Let's start off, you know, where you're from, where you went to school, at the basics, you know, and we're gonna go further, deeper, and finding out who you is and what you're really about. So go ahead and give people some background on you and where you're from.
Again, my name is Virgil Smith. I'm a graduate of Michigan State University and Western Michigan University. I've had a very interesting and educational life, I guess I'll say it that way. So I'm here at your behest. I'm here to answer any question that you have. This is not rehearsed. This is live. You are my third person that I've interviewed with.
Okay.
Recent times.
Okay. Well, listen, man, it's a pleasure having you into the show, man. It's a pleasure having you come in through to tell your story. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, definitely, if anybody listens to my show, they know I'm willing and I'm down to ask anything. So, Mr. Smith, you're from Detroit, politician. Born, I say maybe, what, 79, 80, I put your age at, right? So you're fairly young. When did you first get into politics? When did you know that being a politician was something that you wanted to do?
All right, well, that's two questions right there. So when did I first get into politics? I was born into politics. When did I know that politics is what I was going to do was at Michigan State University?
Okay, so you decided when you were in college that you were going to pursue politics. What was the first political office that you ran for?
I ran for state senator in 2001.
2001, okay, and that's an election that you did win, correct?
No, I lost that race by 398 votes.
By 398 votes. So when you ran for that position, you didn't win. You know, did you know then, like, I'm coming back, did that ignite that fire into you? Or did you sit back and wait and re-go to the drawing board? Or what made you continue to go on after that?
You know, I always say running for office is all about timing. So it wasn't like it was like, oh, I lost that race, I'm lit a fire, I'm gonna come back even stronger and win the next race. The next race just kind of happened.
Okay.
The first race just happened.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes it's your day and you win. Sometimes it's not your day and you lose.
Okay. So how old were you when you first won an elected office?
22.
You were 22. What was the first position that you won?
State, in the state house, state representative, District 7.
District 7. Okay. So, man, 22 years old, you know, fresh out of, I'm assuming fresh out of college, just got your degree. You're an elected official. I mean, I know a lot had to come with that. You know, how did you become an elected official at 20? Because I know at 22, man, I was on bullshit. I mean, I would assume, you know, most 22-year-olds, you know, they still enjoying their life. They still having their fun. You were an elected official, which, you know, I'm assuming immediately put you into the spotlight. How did you becoming an elected official at 22 change how you were living as a 22-year-old?
I don't think it changed at all. That was part of my problem.
Okay.
You know, so it enhanced it, maybe.
Okay. So you said this shit turned
put some,
up.
Put some money behind it. Okay.
Turned up a little bit. Okay. So you won your first election. Everything is going good. I'm saying, just to keep the numbers right, we in 2001 at this time, correct?
So 2002 is when I won my first
2002
election.
2002.
I lost the election in 2001.
Okay. So the election that you won in 2002, that was the House election, correct?
Yes.
Who did you defeat?
The person that came in second was named was Myron Walls. The person that came in third was Bertha Coleman Poe.
Okay. All right. So we fast forward.
14 people in that race altogether.
14 people in the race. Okay, cool. So we fast forward to, I believe it was 2010 is when you won the Senate election?
Yes.
Okay. And who was your opponent?
George Cushenberry and a gentleman by the last name of Garrett and Karan Pickens.
Okay. So 2002, you win the House election. 2010, you win the Senate election. 2014, I believe, is when you won your re-election, correct? Who was your opponent for your re-election in 2014?
Sitting right there, Rashida Tlaib.
Rashida Tlaib, as he's pointing to the picture on the wall. So, man, like, George Cushenberry, we got Rashida Tlaib. These some heavy names, man, in the Detroit political circle. I mean, if you're from Michigan, I know a lot of my listeners are from the Tri-County area. If you're from Michigan, man, these are some big names. If you're moving and shaking, you know, or you in any political circles, you know, these are names that you heard of. So it looks like, you know, you got some big heavy hitters, you know, under your belt, man, under your resume. So it's like, I mean, it sounded to me like you was a rising star amongst the Democratic Party. Would you say so?
I'll say this way. At my time at that position, I was the go-to guy out of Detroit.
Go-to guy out of Detroit? Okay.
In Lansing.
In Lansing. Okay, wow. So, I mean,
I can honestly say that. I don't mean disrespect to my colleagues. It was a few of my colleagues. It was a couple of us that we were really, you know, some go-getters. But I was one of them.
Okay. So, I mean, so let me be honest with you, man. This is what I really want to know. Was you at the Mandugian party? I'm fucking with you, man. It's a question that people wanted to know. It's a political question we had to ask. But anyway, so, you know, 22, man, you become an elected official. You know, you win two elections to get some heavy hitters. Looks like everything is going good, man, and it seems like sometime after that, things kind of changed. In 2015, there were some changes that went on in your life that caused those things to be kind of placed on hold. Would you like to speak about that?
Placed on hold, snatched from me.
Okay. All right, well, we're good. In regards to the situation, I'm going to give everyone a disclaimer. You know, here at the Bad Guy Radio, we treat all of our guests with the utmost respect, and we always have integrity in how we conduct interviews. So when there are situations involving sensitive situations, pending litigation, there are questions that I will and will not ask. And I just got to get a disclaimer to all my listeners. But, you know, Mr. Smith, I'm going to be candid and very, you know, objective in my interviewing. So in 2015, you fresh off a re-election. You had just won re-election into your office. It sounds like you're about 1 year into your term. You say the situation occurred where your job was snatched from you. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is I put myself in a situation where I had to ultimately resign.
Okay, so you put yourself in a situation where you ultimately resign. Okay, so was it a situation involving, you know, you weren't capable to do the job? Was it a situation to where you were placed in a situation where you... What made you be placed in the position, the decision that you made that caused the interruption in your political career?
I shot a car 10 times.
Okay. Shot a car 10 times. Okay. Well, coming from where you coming from, you know, a very accomplished young man, a very educated, you know, young man. What were the circumstances that caused you to do that? Was it a situation where your life was in danger? Did you feel like there was something that you needed to do to protect yourself? What was the situation that caused you to make this decision?
Protection was there, but anger was also prevalent.
Okay. I mean, well, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, we all make mistakes, and, you know, honesty. If it's anything I can stand for in the Bad Guy Radio Show, it's candidness. You know, I can't say I done made the best decisions in my life. You know, sometimes you make decisions out of anger, that you shouldn't make. And nobody can hold you accountable for that once you pay for your mistake. So, I mean, if that's what the case was, I could definitely understand that. So, there's a situation to where you shoot the vehicle up. Is this a situation where you were in an argument with some people? Was it a situation? Was this a domestic situation? Was this something that was going on with a girlfriend, a family member? What?
It was a situation where an intruder busted into my house and tried to attack my guest, and I had to forcefully remove that intruder. Then that intruder would not leave. That intruder stayed in front of the house, banging on front doors, screaming, cussing, threatening people before she ran off down the street.
Okay. So, I mean, wow. I mean, that seems like what I would assume it would probably be a traumatic situation for those involved, not only you, probably your guests as well. So, someone forcefully enters your home. I mean, keep in mind, this time you're a Michigan State Senator. I mean, I would think that that's a risky endeavor to attack an elected official. I'm assuming you guys don't have security. You guys don't have...
So, it wasn't like somebody barred. It was a female.
Okay.
I tried to go outside to get to the young lady to go home.
Okay.
That was the mistake. You know, to all the young men, don't try to go outside.
Hey, listen, I mean, we're going to get into that too, because it's just like, okay, so, I mean, we're going to keep it. I understand there's some things you can't say. So, you know, I mean, I might have to come in and paint a little picture, because, I mean, we all niggas, man. Yeah, you know,
leave that woman outside.
We in the Bad Guy Radio Show. I mean, you know, so basically it sounds to me like, you know, you was on a date, somebody came to your house, maybe unannounced, maybe kind of announced.
Nah, it was unannounced.
It was unannounced. You answered the door.
No, I tried to go outside to get her to go home.
You tried to go outside out.
That was the mistake that I made.
Yeah, that was the mistake. I left that bitch on the curb. But that's just me. Matter of fact, I would have got on the phone. Like, how you doing? Yes, I mean, Michigan State Senator. There's a individual unidentified sitting on my grass. I don't, and I think she has a gun. She looks drunk. Somebody might want to get out here as soon as possible. I mean, but that's just me. So, you know, but at the same time, I can also understand, you know, you probably live in a neighborhood where you don't want to have a disturbance. You don't want the shit on your porch. So you go out there and try to calm them down. I can see both sides of the story. I can see both sides of the story. So going forward. So, I mean, you said that you went outside. You were able to get the individual to leave. They ran off.
Well, no, I didn't go outside. I never made it outside. Never. As soon as I unclucked that door, she snatched it open. And was ducked under my arms. She was in the house.
She was in the house. Okay, so
that's a problem.
So she runs up in the house.
That's
so
a problem.
You get her in the house. When
no, she busted into the house. I didn't get her in the
no,
house.
No, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, she's in the house.
Yes.
She's in the house. So what is she doing when she's in the house?
She ran to the bedroom.
She runs to the bedroom. She runs to the bedroom. She sees the company that you have.
Yeah, she busted through the bedroom door and sees the young lady there.
Okay, she sees the young lady there. What happens then?
She tried to attack the young lady.
Okay, she tries to attack the young lady. So she tries to attack this young lady. A fight ensues. I'm sure. Did y'all jump her?
No.
I didn't jump her. Okay. I'd have jumped that bitch. All right. Anyway. So at some point, you get her out the house.
Yes.
Get her out the house. She leaves. Okay. No. She doesn't go anywhere.
Not at first.
At first. Okay. So are you guys out there? Is it y'all having a discussion?
I went back to check on my guests.
Okay.
At that moment, I'm hearing people bang or somebody banging on my front windshield. My front window. Obviously, it's got to be her. So I go outside to check on it.
She came back for more.
To see exactly what was she doing. And at that moment, she was about to throw a chair through my car window.
Okay. So did she throw the chair?
Off my front porch. Okay. She did throw the chair because I screamed at her. And she threw the chair up in the air, like, towards me, towards the house. I was on my side porch. And that's when things got...
So it's at that point you grabbed a weapon.
That's when I went back in the house.
Okay, went back in the house. Okay, so at some point after that,
she ran off. Down. I watched her run off. So what happened was, I screamed at her. She throws the chair up in the air and she runs off down the street. I ain't know where she went. And that's when I went back in the house.
So you got her off the property. You in the house. You safe. You can lock the door. You can go to sleep. Why return outside?
Man, I ain't got it all.
Fair enough. So you return outside. You got a weapon. As you indicated, the weapon, the weapon was discharged. The vehicle was shot 10 times. After the vehicle was shot 10 times, I'm assuming the police were called.
Not right away.
Okay, so she didn't immediately file a report.
She didn't know the car was shot.
Okay, so she never came back that night, or?
Well, she ran off down the street to my homeboy's house. I don't know why. That's where she ended up at.
Okay.
On the other end of the block.
Okay. All right, so the vehicle gets shot up. What happens next?
Well, take it 2 steps back. It wasn't my intention to shoot the vehicle. As crazy as it sounds, it was only my intention to really shoot in the air so she wouldn't come back. Because I ain't want her to come back.
Okay, well, I mean, she pull that motherfucker on me, I wouldn't have came back either. I mean, but so
she didn't see. She never saw that. She was gone. So I just, you know, in my mind, put two in the air, don't come back.
And from two in the air to 10 in through the vehicle, huh?
Yeah, it didn't go that way. It didn't go that way.
It was that kind of night. Okay, all right, well, listen, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so
yeah, because I didn't shoot in the air at all.
Right. So we got a young man. I mean, like I said, you on the rise. You beating some of these heavy hitters in these political circles. You elected official at 22. All in all, I would say a very promising future. So this incident happens. I'm assuming, of course, you're arrested. You're charged. You're charged with
felonious assault, malicious destruction of property over $20,000, domestic violence misdemeanor, and felony firearm.
Wow. So that's a 4 felony count. It's pretty. Those
3 felonies, 1 misdemeanor.
I'm sorry. So the domestic violence would have been the misdemeanor?
I don't have no history of that. I ain't never hit a woman in my life. Still, you know.
Okay.
I don't have
okay.
no history of that.
Okay, so a Michigan senator, I mean, I would assume, man, like, you know, that put a lot of dent, you know, in what you had going on. You are arrested, charged with these crimes. I'm assuming you turned yourself in. You're a senator. You can jump pretty too much where you can go. You kind of had the answer to that.
Well, the problem was the complaining witness story was so out there. She was trying to, I don't know what she was trying to do. I ain't gonna get into that. But the story was so out there that it was hard to get down to what really happened.
Okay. So you're arrested, you're charged. Throughout the court proceedings, I'm assuming you didn't go to trial. You took a plea deal?
A plea did happen, yes.
Okay. So you took a plea deal. Did the plea deal involve you having to serve some time in jail?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And I'm also assuming that this plea deal also caused you to have to resign from your seat.
Initially, yes.
Okay. So, I mean, from a rising career to being sitting in court, from a rising lawmaker to being a product of the same laws that you kind of helped create, it's a hell of a turnaround. So you plead guilty. I'm assuming you said you did have to serve some jail time. You were resigning from your job. You said at first that was something that you were required to do, but at some point it wasn't.
Yeah, so the judge, part of the plea deal terms were resignation from office and not being able to hold office for the duration of the probation. Probation is lifetime. Lifetime probation in the state of Michigan is 5 years.
Okay.
So, the judge, I guess we could say, ruled that those two provisions were unconstitutional.
Yeah. I actually did pull some of the paperwork on the cases that were involved. I see that you were, like you said, you were charged with 4 crimes. I see that there was the malicious destruction of property of $20,000, which is what you pled guilty to. In return for that, it looks like the other 3 charges regarding your case were dismissed.
Yes.
They were dismissed under a advisement of at an AOI plea, at which time you indicated that you would resign and that you would not run for office. As you indicated from what the court filed indicates, that the judge in the case did review the plea agreement, and he reviewed the plea agreement and he felt that you being prohibited from running for public office was a violation of your constitutional rights. So he struck that from your plea agreement. Now, what I also see is that when this occurred, the prosecutor involved in the case put in a motion to withdraw your plea agreement, which was rejected by the judge on the case. Mm-hmm. And he accepted your plea and sentenced you to jail.
Yes.
Okay, so you're sentenced to jail. At this time, your probation is still currently valid, or was the appeal already filed from the prosecution at that point?
Both.
Both, okay. So your probation is in effect. You've already agreed per the Cobbs agreement that you had with the prosecutor to not run for office and to resign. You did resign.
But not at first.
Not at first. Okay, so when did you resign from your sentence seat?
I was already sitting in the county jail when I resigned.
Oh, yeah, that kind of, I'm pretty sure that pissed her off, huh? She didn't like that shit. Okay, well, I mean, hey, you did what you're supposed to do. It goes how it goes. So anyway.
You know, if I could have got out, they weren't going to put me out. If I could have got out, and see, I resigned on Easter break. I had 2 weeks. If I could have got out and got back, they weren't going to put me out.
I'm saying, what do you mean they?
The Senate wasn't going to put me out.
The Senate weren't. So, I mean, nah, this is a question I would have. So, like, when you were initially arrested, like, how does that work, being a senator? Does, like, the, are you immediately?
Oh, they can throw you out.
Are you immediately suspended?
No, they got to take a 2/3 vote to throw you out.
Okay. Okay.
And
so
that can happen. And it has happened. A guy named David Jay in this state, it happened to him. I knew David.
Okay. Okay. So. The prosecutors filed for an appeal of your plea agreement. You're currently in jail. You served how much time in jail?
256 days.
256 days, man. That nasty motherfucker.
You was county.
You was the rock boss, huh? You had a big fat ass bag of noodles on that motherfucking rock. I mean, I'm be honest with you though. You had the motherfuckers cleaning up everything. That motherfucker. That bag was fat as hell, wasn't it?
I can tell you this. Don't be trusty, cause you know people don't like you sometimes.
Yeah, I bet you. Was you in that mother?
You gotta tell somebody no. You know, it's like, come on, cuz we both inmates. How you telling me no?
You was in that. Oh, so okay. So you know the lingo already. You adapted pretty fast in that motherfucker, huh? Okay. Let me know something, then, Senator. Shit. Okay. All right. So you get out of jail. You're on probation. You know what I mean? That's a hell of a turnaround, man. How old are you at this time?
How old was I then? 37, I think.
37. Okay. So you come out. I'm assuming, you know, you're a lifelong politician. You didn't go file no application. What did you do when you got home?
I actually did file an application.
You filled out an application?
WC3.
In Chrysler?
No, WC3.
Should have tried Chrysler, man. Chrysler would have got you in that motherfucker.
That's what everybody told me. But, you know, I went to college because I was tired of working in factories.
Listen, man, hold on now. Oh, hey. Oh, wait. Nah, hold on. Because we gonna say that for another show now. Nah, we fucks with the UAW real heavy on Bad Guy Radio, man.
They always support me.
Yeah, they all. Okay, well, act like you know it then. Shit.
I don't mean I got to go work in no factory.
Okay, motherfucker. So, anyway. So, you come home, you say you filled out, I'm assuming you didn't go to WC3.
No, they didn't, they told me no.
They told you no.
Well, actually, they didn't tell me no. They told me to go stand in line.
Oh, yeah, you went for that. You used to be in front of the line, and cutting the line. You weren't going for that shit. Okay. Well, listen, we respect honesty. Listen, that's what we're here for, man. This is the madhouse, man. I told you, this is the Detroit's Most Dangerous Podcast. Man, anything might happen on this motherfucker, man. I mean, you know, a dice game, a robbery, who knows? You know what I'm saying? The senator let you know what it is.
I applied with Warren Evans, too, at the county exec's office.
Okay, okay.
He told me no.
He told you no. Warren went out.
He told me flat out no. He said I was too hot.
He said you was hot, huh?
Yeah.
I go, okay, well, shit. Okay, I would. There are quite a few news lines attached to your fucking name. I will say that. I mean, listen, when I did the research on looking up, you know, your background, what was going on. And like I said, you know, It's a lengthy case. From my understanding, this case began in 2015. It's 2020 now. You're still in current litigation, which is going to kind of curb some of the conversation that we have here today. But, I mean, it's worth noting that you've been going through this for 5 years. This is not a fight that it looks like you're willing to give up easily at all. So you get out of jail. You're prohibited or pending
Well, at that point, I'm not prohibited.
Yeah, at that point, you're not prohibited. But the
prosecutor did appeal.
Prosecutor appeal is still pending. So,
yeah.
In the meantime, what do?
Go run for city council. That's what you do.
You ran for city council. So,
you seems like the right thing to do about that time, doesn't it?
Okay, so you run for city council. You fresh out the bean, fresh off the noodles and cook-ups. You come home, you run for city council. How did that election go?
Came in second place, didn't win.
Came in second place. That's not bad, man.
I don't play for second.
You don't play for second? Okay, well, I mean, shit. If you're going to play, might as well play to win. So I'm assuming, per my research, because you guys know on the Bad Guy Radio Show, we do our research before people come into this motherfucker. I'm pretty much under the understanding that the prosecutor prosecuting your case was not happy about your decision to run.
They appealed.
For city council. I'm sorry, you said they appealed what?
They appealed. See, okay, so to give you the narrative, how, because people say, well, I've heard, well, I'll just say it this way. The case was still pending when I filed my nominating petition to run for city council.
Okay.
The Court of Appeals had not gave their decision yet. Interesting note, the decision came down the same day my signatures were approved and I officially became a candidate.
Okay. So.
And the decision was that since the fact that I was not running for office and that I had resigned, those two things were mute. They dismissed the case, and that allowed the prosecutor to appeal.
Okay, okay. Because according to what I'm showing here is that, you know, pending the, because as it stands right now, am I to understand, Mr. Smith, that all of your charges are currently back on the table?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm understanding that the reason for this is because the appeal that was filed by the prosecutor was both approved in part and denied in part.
I guess you could look at it that way.
Well, from my understanding, what the Court of Appeals indicated is that she did not have the ability to stop you from running for office. However, they indicated that the judge overstepped his boundaries by not allowing her to withdraw her plea agreement. And they agreed with that, and that is why the cases were reinstated. So as it stands right now, you are facing the charges as if a plea agreement was never agreed to.
Yes.
With credit for the 256 days.
Well, they can't take your time back.
Okay, so yes.
You always have that. That's like equity. I hate to say it like that. If anybody's been through the system.
So you got time invested in this motherfucker, huh? Hey, listen, I get it.
And that's always something that people need to look at. I mean, I hate to say it like this, but if you're in the system, sometimes if you sit in that county, those are days that are taken off on the end if you can fight it from inside.
Okay.
If you have the resources.
So at this point, this situation is kind of taken up 5 years of your life, kind of put, you know, a very promising political career on hold. Has she offered you any type of risks? I mean, we all know this is Detroit, man. Detroit, a broke ass city. If they don't got to take you to trial, they won't. Has she offered you any type of resolution?
I'll say it this way. Things are progressing. I'll say it that way.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good sign. I mean, you know, like I said, we all make mistakes. I mean, one thing I will say about you, Mr. Smith, is you're very candid. You know, it doesn't look like you. I mean, the biggest thing about anybody that makes a mistake is a person that can admit to their mistakes and a person that also can learn from their mistakes. That's one thing that I've learned about. Redemption is in order to apologize for something, you got to know what you did wrong. I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, like when a person, I don't know, when I used to get my ass whooped when I was a kid, I'd be like, I'm sorry. What you sorry for? You know what I'm saying? It's like the number one step to redemption is at least knowing what you did. So, you know, as far as that goes, we definitely wish you the best in the ongoing litigation of the case. Now, are you still involved in any political circles? Are you still involved politically with candidates? Are you still are you campaign managing? Are you sharing the game? What are you doing?
I mean, I was born into politics. And if I'm going to be in this town, I'm probably going to be somewhere around a race somewhere in this city.
Okay. 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 Well, so what's the end game with this, Mr. Smith? If you can make a decision on what you would do if this was over tomorrow, what would you call it? Would you still be involved in politics? Would you still be running the race?
I'm gonna be involved in politics if I'm in the city, regardless. That's just what it is. You know, sometimes you can, you know, it's like, I don't know if I want to say it. If I can't get out, I can't get in type situation, but I mean, this is what I do.
And so let's say the situation, and we always hope for the best for anybody, you know, not only our guests, but people in general, you know, with all these charges being back on the table and you possibly facing the risk of being reincarcerated, what do you, is that something that you think about when you're thinking about running or just living your life out in general going forward from this point? Does that hover over your head that if...
Yeah, it's like albatross that hangs around your neck. But, you know, you live with it.
So my question is this. If they were to, let's say, I mean, because, you know, it's been some time. It looks like to me in your situation, you recognize what you did. Do you regret any of the choices that you made or the reasons why you made them?
Man, that's a whole lot I regret. You know?
In terms of the resolution involving the case, and I know it's some things we can't really speak about. So if there was a situation, because what I'm reading from a recent interview regarding the prosecutor in your case, it indicates to me that, she indicated per her office that she was willing to cut a deal with you that would result in you not being penalized anymore, that she wouldn't send you to jail and she wouldn't extend your probation. And she indicated that you rejected that deal. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
So with the situation as it stands now and you facing prison, you decided to go against a chance to put this behind you. Got to ask you why you would choose to do something like that?
I mean, I don't really want to get too far into all that, but, you know, I mean, you just got to know who you are, what you can stand, and know what you're guilty of and know what you're innocent of.
I can dig that. Well, I mean, since we already know, I mean, he's already pretty much said he's going to be around the elections any way it goes. Can we count on seeing you on a ballot somewhere in the future, man?
Like I said, running for office is all about timing. So we'll see. But I definitely think I got one more race left in me.
Definitely one more race left in you. I mean, but listen, man, look, if Trump can win, dude, I don't see no reason why they wouldn't give you a shot.
Man, I damn near won in 2017.
How many, you're a stickler on the numbers. How many votes you lose that motherfucker by?
I lost that one by quite a few. That was 60-40. That one hurt.
60-40?
60-40 percentage
points. I seen a Free Press line on that, man, on that election. When I was doing your reference check, I was like, ooh, yeah, this is probably pissing. Because, I mean, that's what really makes your story so fascinating to me. And it's just because it's like, you know, a story that I'm seeing in Detroit. I mean, if you're from Detroit, we all are from Detroit, you know, and everybody know, no matter how many shows I do, no matter where I go, Detroit is my heart. Everything I do revolving my show, you know, is rooted here and rooted in our lifestyle. You know, and also a recurring theme that I see, you know, for a lot of the bright stars, you know, rather is people involved in movies, rather is people involved in music, you know, even with some of our political stars, you know, it's a lot of guys who got some bright lights, and these bright lights is getting put out kind of early. Some situations, you know, are some things they can't control, you know, some are situations where they aren't. And so, you know, like, I think that's what's so fascinating about your story, because it's just like, I think that so many people could relate, you know, to being in a situation to where they elevated and they finally get a platform and they had that shit kind of, you know, taken from them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say taken from them, because, I mean, there is an amount of personal responsibility that needs to be acknowledged. I mean,
but you can personally take it from yourself.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I got to agree with you on. You know, that goes to, you know, the accountability. And that's why I respect you, because it's just like, you could have came in here and made a bunch of fucking excuses as to what was and what wasn't. But for you to come in here and man up to whatever mistake you made, and it takes a hell of a man to do that. And I mean, if it's one thing that's missing in politics, I would probably say is transparency. You know, so I can respect, you know, I can respect if I had you in the office, I probably wouldn't mind coming to some of those meetings, because I could probably see you on the Senate floor right now. I'm probably some entertaining fucking meetings. I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm trying to tell you. So what's your end game?
I don't know.
You don't know, man. Come on. You don't seem like a man without a plan, man.
You can plan the plan, don't plan the outcome, you know. We'll see.
All right, well, either way it go, man, you know, we definitely wish you the best. You know, we're going to definitely have you back on the show at a time when you can kind of get a little further into the situation and kind of tell us a little bit more. I mean, in the meantime, you know, because I got to always give you the platform, you know, tell the people about something you got going on, where can we support what you got going on, and how can we learn more about your situation and get more information so we see you next time and we see you on the ballot? Because a lot of these names on these ballots, we don't even know these people. You know, you don't ever really see them. You know, you might see the commercials around election time, but other than that, you know, it's kind of hard to put a name with a face. So, I mean, let the people know, where can they come and meet, or where can they see, or where can they get more literature about the things that you're working on, the policies you're pushing, the things you're trying to get passed, and what you're doing for the city and your plans going forward?
Unfortunately, I don't really have a platform for that right now. I don't have a website. I'm not really promoting anything that I'm involved with. I do have my own personal company, VKS Consulting, but I think currently on Wikipedia, and you know, they always taught me, never source Wikipedia. It says I'm unemployed.
So, well, I mean, you don't look unemployed to me, bro. It don't look like you got something going on. I didn't see you doing bad. We didn't pick you up off Skid Row to come up in this motherfucker. You look like you're doing all right, man.
So I don't really have a platform really discussing, and that's done purposefully. I mean, when it happened, I wasn't gonna give people a soap opera. You know, it was a lot being said, but it wasn't a lot being said by me.
I mean, and that's something else too. You know, that I think we kind of, you know, didn't really get.
My platforms were shut down.
That's another thing, you know, that we didn't kind of, you know, really, you know, divulge too much, is because it's just like, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, you know, but I'm kind of versed in the law, you know, in terms of sentencing guidelines, you know, in terms of, you know, the felony firearm law, you know, the 2, the 5, the 10. You know about it. I mean,
my father voted for it.
Oh, your father voted for that shit, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Congratulations. You know, there are some that might say, Mr. Smith, that you kind of got off easy.
I wouldn't say that.
Why wouldn't you?
I wouldn't say that at all. I think the story was embellished. There was a lot of lies. The story didn't happen that way. That was put out. And I think people were framing that based upon the stories that were put out.
Well, I mean, let's... When we talk about the story that was put out, you know, because I only like to talk and deal with what we got on record, you know, especially with a case that has pending litigation. If it's not on the record, I don't want to speak about it, you know, because, you know, it's up for determination until the judge bang that gavel. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of the charges involving the crime, I see a felony firearm, I see a felonious assault, I see a malicious destruction of $20,000 or more. Per statute in Michigan, the discharge of the firearm during the commission of another felony would have resulted in a felony firearm conviction,
not the discharge of a firearm, it's the having a firearm in the act of another felony.
That's correct. That's also correct. But what I'm saying is, to support the conviction, they have the discharge of the firearm. I didn't get to finish. To support what would have been a felony firearm conviction for you, they had a discharge of a weapon 10 times. So under normal circumstances, there was a very, very high probability of you going to prison. So what would you say to somebody who said, well, he looks like he kind of got off easy?
I wouldn't say that at all. Every case is different, though. And, you know, every case has a different resolution. So you may say this guy got off easy. He may say that. I don't see it that way. You know?
I mean, I would.
So I don't compare cases. And I didn't get off easy. And I reject that argument.
Okay, I mean, well, listen, it's definitely an argument. I mean, you may reject it, but based upon the facts of the case, it's definitely an argument.
I mean, I hear it.
Definitely, it's definitely an argument. But I mean, like I said, you know, if at any way or any place you were able,
you could also make the argument that if I wasn't who I was, this case would have been over, and I'd have moved on with my life.
Well, I mean, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I'm just saying, if those provisions weren't put in there, can't bar from office and got to resign, that ain't, those provisions are not included in that, in the plea deals.
Well, I mean, this is why, well, now, I have an argument to that as well. I mean, this is what my argument is, because I mean, I say I've been on the
set. You work at Chrysler. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you can go to jail, get out, and they keep your job for you.
We're not talking about Chrysler.
That's negotiated through collective bargaining.
Yeah, but listen, but Chrysler is neither here nor there. What we're talking about right now is what a COBS agreement is and a sentencing agreement, because I've been on that side of the table too.
And those provisions were all the way through the state Supreme
Court.
Hold on.
One second, because now you're kind of putting the carriage before the horse. Okay? Now listen, if it's a situation where you struck a plea deal, okay, whatever provisions that you agreed to for that plea deal, you agreed to before the judge told you that
But the judge is the ultimate authority. So true. Based upon what you just said, the judge then intervenes and say, well, these provisions are unconstitutional.
Okay.
So you, Madam Prosecutor, don't have the authority to even hold him to that. And I strike those.
Correct.
Now, at that point, those are off the table.
Now, listen. In the same process, as we indicated, once the prosecutor was informed that those were being struck, she immediately attempted to withdraw your plea agreement, correct?
And that's her right, yes.
Which was her right.
Yes.
The judge in your case denied that request, which was his right, correct? Yes. She appealed to a higher court who sided with her, who then allowed her.
Side with her. That's not what happened.
That's incorrect, sir.
That is not correct. If you look at, they said it was mute.
If we speak.
And then she appealed.
If we go back, not to dispute what you're saying, mm-hmm. but if we go back 20 minutes in the interview where I advised that her appeal was approved in part and denied in part, you agreed with.
That was the state Supreme Court. Yeah, they said that the judge should have allowed her to pull her plea.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if the situation involving the Supreme Court indicating that it was unconstitutional, because we're on the same page with that there. Mm-hmm. We're on the same page with that. Where is the situation where it comes, they would have been penalizing you because of who you were when she indicated that she wanted the plea deal back from day one? That's what I'm trying to get to the end game. If she already indicated from day one that she wanted the plea bargain off the table.
Well, then the case should have been stayed at that point. Then the prosecution should have asked for the case to be stayed. And then I could have still stayed in the state senate, because I'd have served my whole term. Because once I resigned, I lost that, and I can't get that back.
So it's not. So pretty much,
it goes back to what I originally said. The state senate was not going to put me out.
So was there ever any situation where you said they indicated need a 2/3 vote to get you out of office?
And they didn't have that.
They didn't have it. Was there ever a vote that took place?
It was a discussion, and that discussion was squashed, and we moved forward.
So no.
And the state senate took their discipline against me, actually submitted a letter to the judge saying that they took their discipline against me, and that was that.
So they weren't in favor of you resigning?
They weren't going to put me out.
So nothing officially.
The votes weren't there.
The votes weren't there. But there was never an official. Just to make sure that we on the record for what occurred versus what we think. Mm-hmm. There were no vote took place.
No vote took place.
Okay, understood. I just want to be clear, you know, because it's like I don't want to. I mean, if we tell the story, we definitely want to tell it right, you know, for sure. But it's just like my understanding is that, you know, she did attempt to withdraw the plea agreement initially.
The case should have been stayed at that point. Because I went to jail at that point.
Yeah, you did.
So you can't have it. You can't have it both ways. You appeal, but then the case should have been stayed. Because then the judge also ordered the probation to take effect. So as me as the defendant, I can't say, hey, well, wait a minute. She's appealing. Why should I have to go to jail while she's appealing?
Oh, so you
would. I guess I could have asked my lawyer to make a motion for the case to be stayed. But why should I? I'm not the one appealing. So, you know, that gets to a double jeopardy argument at that point. So the case is not stayed. The probation is enforced. Restitution is enforced. A sentence is enforced. When does final judgment take place?
Well, I mean, I've been on probation before. And that's what I've noticed is different from your case, from a regular probation case. Like, typically when you're on probation for a crime, whatever crime that you plead guilty to, and you violate the probation for, that would be the crime that they would base your probation violation on.
Mm-hmm. This ain't had nothing to do with me as an office holder.
In your case, she's attempting to throw out your plea agreement altogether. So it's not technically a probation violation for you. It's a brand new case.
Yes.
Yeah, that's different.
Yes, it is.
That's definitely different. You know, that kind of goes back into, you know, pending litigation. We don't want to get into that. You know what I'm saying?
But I think I've said enough at this point.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get in that. But, I mean, you know, at any rate, man, you know, we definitely want, you know, the best in your case. I mean, I hate to see a good brother, you know, be penalized.
I appreciate the tough questions, though.
I mean, hey, listen, we got it. I mean, because if I don't ask you those questions, you know, then I'm not doing my job. And I appreciate you answering them, because a lot of people won't take these questions. You came in here, you didn't do no media training. You didn't have nobody in here stepping in front of you. You came in here, you told your story, and I can always respect that. You know, and at the same point, like I said, the transparency is what does it for me. Because it's just like, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not really a political person. I'm not big on politics. But I am getting older, and I am realizing that the decisions that I make in terms of the politicians that I put in office are not only gonna have an effect on my life, but an effect on my kids' life. So, I mean, what I like about you coming into the show, you know, and speaking on your situation is, you know, it provides a platform, and it also provides a doorway to see that for the regular person out there listening, that, you know, politicians are just like us. They make mistakes too. They got their vices. They got their issues. They got their problems. And I think that a big part of us moving forward with anything we got going on, you know, whether it's the movement for the Black Lives Matter, whether it's the movement for getting that punk motherfucker Trump out of office, no matter what it's for, it's all going to be done on a platform of communication and understanding. So if one person that didn't know what a senator was or what a senator was about or what a state representative does hears this show and something that you said in a conversation made it easy or more relatable to them, then my job was done. So that's what it's about for me. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, we wish you the best, you know what I'm saying, in your law situation, man. I hope you got smart. I hope you ain't opening no doors for these hoes, man. Cause I'll leave a bitch on the porch like DoorDash. She'd have left that shit on the step. Whatever you gonna fuck up out there, go on out there and fuck that shit on up. And I'm gonna catch
that's
up.
That's the lesson there. Destroyed that car. I could have bought another one.
Could have bought that motherfucker. Hey, listen, could have bought another one, that motherfucker. But listen, man, we gonna keep our ear to the streets on you, man. We gonna be checking in, making sure you ain't on no bullshit. I'm going to be watching the headlines, man, and making sure you ain't on that motherfucker, man, you know, going ape shit. Because I'm telling you, man, I can see it in you, bro. Look like you ready to, you got, hey, listen, the swag, when you got to talk in that politics shit, his eyes lit up. Motherfucker, I'm always being these racists. I'm going to be around, I've been out here, and I'm going to be out here. I got that vibe, bro. Like, this nigga, like, shit, this nigga ready to join an election today. Shit, he mad. Motherfucker, Biden should have picked your ass. You had me with the speech. You swagging and shit. My God, though, man, I appreciate you, Senator. And I'm going to call you Senator. Not former Senator. I'm going to call you Senator. You're Senator in my book, and you're going to always be Senator until otherwise. Until they beat you in the I can't call you Councilman. You lost that motherfucker.
Nah.
But I call you Senator because you did win that motherfucker.
We'll see. There's always another chance.
It's always another. Well, listen.
We always have another election.
It's always going to be. Hey, listen, 4 score more years. What the fuck is it? Three? Every 3 to 4 to score?
Well, every 4 years.
Every 4. So, was that a hint?
Well, that's next year. That's 2021.
Is that? Uh-oh. Who we beat last time? Cushion?
Well, Cushionberry was the incumbent.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen. You heard it straight from my dog, man. You better watch your back. Because he back on this shit, man. And he coming for the crown. Listen, man, that's been a good episode, man. Like I said, we're going to follow up with you, bro. Going forward, I'm going to invite you back for my political platform show that I'm hosting, because I do want to get a chance to talk to some of the young voters who may not know what decisions to make. I mean, we don't care if you voting. I'm going to lie to you, bro. We do give a fuck. If you voting for Trump, fuck you. And that's the fuck we on. If you on any of that. And I'm going to say something else, too.
What if he pardons Kwame?
I don't give a fuck about Kwame. Kwame can stay in jail. He can stay. I don't give a fuck about Kwame. I got time today. I'm not a Kwame fan. I'm not. Never have been. Never. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. Yes, I was. I was a Kwame fan. He came to St. Suzanne on Chicago and Westwood and shot basketball with us and all that old kind of shit when he first came. He had the long trench coat, wool coat on. Then by the time he was in office, he was wearing 8-ball Pelly coats. But I'm going to be honest, I'm not a Kwame fan at all. But as far as my outlook, and this is aside from the show, I kind of try to stay on topic, but the events of what the fuck we got going on, these shooting, these motherfuckers shooting seven motherfuckers in the back 7 times while they reaching in their cars. They even come into the protest marches and they shoot motherfuckers. The rhetoric, and I've said this time and time again, his rhetoric is dangerous. It's dangerous. And the way I feel is, it's like all you motherfucking all you motherfucking rappers and y'all entertainers with all these agendas and shit, at this point, we can debate policy. You know, we can do any of that at any other time. But at this point, it's Biden or Trump. That's what the choices are. All that other shit we can figure out later. Because let's be honest, we know that the job of a president is a job that's supposed to be made of cohesiveness, but it ain't no fucking cohesiveness. So it's not even like if Biden is even president, every policy he has will pass. We know that. But if you're talking about the lesser of two evils, you're talking about a motherfucker that is basically encouraging violence and encouraging separatism and all this other type of bullshit. That motherfucker gotta go, bro.
Oh, he's crazy.
And it's like, you know, that's just the bottom line for it. And it's like, you know, what I don't like is, and I'm gonna say it for anybody listening to my show, I don't have the platform that Ice Cube has, but I'm seeing all these people that's kicking up this shit. Listen, if y'all had problems and ideas and all that old kind of shit, you should have been picking out competitors for this motherfucker when there was 20 people in the pool at the Democratic National Convention. Biden is who it is right now, bro. It's Biden or Trump. Who you want? Anything other than that.
Definitely not Trump.
Exactly. So we had figured the rest of that shit out later. That motherfucker gotta go. Period. I don't give a fuck if he let my daddy out of jail. And I don't.
That's a good point.
He can keep that nigga. I don't know. He can keep my daddy. I ain't seen a nigga 20, 30 fucking years anyway. At this point, nigga, ride it out. But he gotta go, bro. Because the shit that we seeing now, bro, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Another black gentleman.
I don't see America surviving another 4 years of that shit he got going on.
Nah, this country's out of control.
170,000 plus Americans killed in the pandemic. We went from it's a hoax to it's gonna disappear to us leading the global motherfucking world in this shit.
Not to mention you're on the verge of a race riot.
Man, listen, motherfucker shot at the police in the drive-by yesterday. Police was doing a traffic stop yesterday in Detroit, and they said that some people did a drive. They shoot that motherfucking police randomly now. We got to get it together, man. But that's another story for another time. Shout out to Senator Smith for coming through. Shout out to the Audio Wave Network, my guy JG in the building, man, always holding me down. I'll check y'all in a minute. Yeah, listen, we got sound effects in this motherfucking we didn't came up, bro. We didn't came. We might have to shoot another show after this, bitch. We got sound effects. You should have been told. I'd have been queuing them bitches all night. But listen, man, I'll check y'all in 2 weeks, man. It's Bad Guy Radio. Y'all take care of each other.